Streams of Meaning in Sean Kirshner's Sweet Rivers. Have to tell you that I've just finished doing a deep dive into the career of the composer slash songwriter of Sweet Rivers, Sean Kirshner, and I am exhausted. You can read his professional bio on his website if you'd like. Just be sure you're sitting down before you start. Although Kirshner was classically trained, his compositions have become more and more attuned to popular music, whether folk, jazz, or bluegrass. Within these categories, he's written many sacred pieces, one of which is Sweet Rivers, pairing text by the itinerant preacher John Adam Granade with his own tune. Granade was an active participant in the Great Revival in the West, that's usually dated to 1800, and is part of the Second Great Awakening that swept over the Northeast and Midwest U.S. especially, although outbreaks of religious fervor occurred all over the nation. Granade was known as the Wild Man of Goose Creek, a settlement in Tennessee, and became a prolific hymn writer. Here's a description of his behavior. In the midst of religious exercises, he uttered aloud impassioned exclamations, and this he denominated shouting. He composed many hymns and spiritual songs, all of which were filled with these impassioned exclamations. He was proverbially called the Wild Man on account of the strange history he gave of his experience. His preaching produced wonders in the land. Thousands were seized with the same propensity for shouting, and in a short time, the whole country was filled with shouting congregations. Granade's original lyrics run to 7 verses, but Kirshner used only 3. Believe me, that's more than enough to keep me occupied in this shortened version. Let me look at each verse in turn. Here's the first one. Sweet rivers of redeeming love lie just before mine eyes. Had I the pinions of a dove, I'd to those rivers fly. I'd rise superior to my pain, with joy outstrip the wind. I'd cross o'er Jordan's stormy waves and leave the world behind. The first line echoes the book of Revelation in the Christian New Testament. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And that's Revelation 22:1 from the King James Version. John the Apostle is speaking of the visions he's being shown by an angel. Granade's dove imagery might be taken from the Jewish Bible book of Psalms. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." And that's Psalm 55:6 from the King James Version. The verse closes with a reference to the River of Jordan, which literally marked the boundary of the land of Canaan, the promised land in the Jewish Bible, but which came to symbolize death, with heaven replacing Canaan. So in these 4 lines, Granade has referenced 3 widely separated biblical texts. On to verse 2. A few more days, or years at most, my troubles will be o'er. I hope to join the heavenly host on Canaan's happy shore. My rapturous soul shall drink and feast in love's unbounded sea. The glorious hope of endless rest is ravishing to me. Note Granade's emphasis on the brevity of life and also its hardships. He spent his life after conversion at the age of 36 as an itinerant preacher. Sadly, his voice and health began to fail quite rapidly, and he was forced to quit the strenuous life of travel that he'd been following for, indeed, only a few years. He decided to go into medicine, married at age 42, and died only 2 years later in 1807. Look at the words unbounded and endless clear references to eternity. And I'm going to interrupt my text reading here and do something I'm not doing in all of these readings out loud, but which I think is so interesting, I want to be sure it gets included here. So this is about Granada's death. His widow was pregnant with a son at the time of his death, and since he died intestate, she apparently didn't inherit anything and had to confine herself to buying his second best mare. I know that the facts of Granada's estate don't really have anything to do with the lyrics of this song, but I'm fascinated and puzzled in equal measure at poor Widow Polly's situation. Wouldn't she have automatically inherited everything if her husband died without making a will? He left a somewhat considerable estate, including 30 hogs. But everything was put up for sale. Who got the proceeds? Here's hoping that she did, but the wording of the article cited is unclear. I'm going to restrain myself with great difficulty from looking up inheritance laws in 1800s rural Tennessee. Okay, back to our main text here. Here's the final verse in Kirshner's composition. He has changed the wording somewhat and incorporated ideas from a couple of Granada's original verses, which I include below the videos. O come, my Savior, come away, and bear me through the sky. Nor let thy chariot wheels delay, but quickly draw thou nigh. Then I shall join the angel throng, and circle round thy throne. I'll sing through all the ages long, and joy to be thine own. Here, Granada references the second coming of Christ. Maybe he won't have to go through death after all if his prayer for his Savior's return is granted. Did you catch the phrase chariot wheels? The reference is to the prophet Elijah, who was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. We get the story in the Jewish Bible book of 2 Kings. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And that's 2 Kings 2:11 from the King James Version. And yes, the title of the movie, Chariots of Fire, indeed references this story, albeit somewhat indirectly. Kirshner's setting of these moving lyrics is full of motion and excitement, to quote from the sheet music notes. I don't do musical analysis in these posts, and so will let you experience the piece firsthand by watching the video below of the premiere performance by the commissioning organization, the Atlanta Master Chorale. And, as always, if you're listening to this track on the actual blog post, all you have to do is scroll down to get to the videos. If you're listening to this somewhere else, you'll have to click on the link to be taken to the post. So I have several videos. I have the one I just mentioned. But then I also have some really interesting, I guess you'd call them kind of historic or historical recordings. Let me just read what I put for this second video. But you knew, didn't you, that I wouldn't be able to limit myself to just one video? So here's a version of the first verse of Granada's hymn sung to one of its early tunes in the shape note style. Be sure to read my earlier post about Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal, and you can follow that link, for more info about this fascinating early American singing style. And then I point out, note the square formation of the singers with the director in the middle, and that she goes through the tune using fa, sol, la first, and then has them sing the words. Sadly, only the first verse is included in this video. And then I also have one more track that you can listen to, and then I have all seven of Granade's verses. So I would invite you to take advantage of those elements that are on the post.